3 o'clock, Rob. Bruins bite the dust last night. It was a tremendous basketball game to watch.
Yeah, they played great. They just ran out of gas.
Yeah, they did not have any depth last night. Couple of injuries. Jaime Jaquez Jr. was gassed.
Tiger Campbell was gassed.
Yeah, I mean, it was.
I thought when Amari Bailey hit that three at the end of the game, they won it.
So did I.
And the guy hit a 30-footer from the logo to beat him. It takes incredible stones with 8 seconds to go in a tournament game, down one, to bury a 30-footer. I texted Michael. That was Steph Curry-esque.
Yeah, that was a gutsy shot.
Yeah.
All or nothing on that shot. It was all or nothing.
Yes,
they went for it.
All right, so I got a question for you guys. Buster Olney has reported that we've talked about Shohei Ohtani and maybe $500 million. Buster is now saying $600 million.
Okay.
Over 10 years, $60 million a year. Is a team better off having Shohei Ohtani at $600 million or $600 million players?
If it was anybody else.
Yep.
Any other player in the league, even Trout, I would go for option B. Ohtani is worth it. I would go with him. You guys got to remember, there's never – Babe Ruth – Joe Davis talked about this during the World Baseball Classic. Yeah. Babe Ruth was only a two-way player for 2 years. Shohei Ohtani has already done it for three, and he's better than Babe was.
Right.
In both – you know, if you look at his pitching numbers, he's not only – arguably the best, well, he's for sure the best pitcher on the Angels, but he might be the best pitcher in the American League, and he's the best hitter in the American League.
Yeah.
So let's just take those one at a time. If he's the best pitcher in the American League, that's worth $300 million.
Yes.
If he's the best hitter, it's worth at least that.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Trout got $400 million.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess I could be coming back at you with, why isn't it $700 million?
Right.
It's one guy, so $600 million to me sounds about right.
But you get what I'm saying. Like, $100 million times six.
Right.
In other words, you can fill up your lineup with $100 million guys.
But for 10 years, so $10 million a year?
Or whatever. I'm just
saying. I'm
allocating money. Whatever, it's $395 or whatever that happens to be. However you break down the 100. 4 years and 100 or 2 years and 100.
What's like it going to cost to sign Julio Urias?
Oh, let's see. I would say he wants probably a 6-year deal, $30 million a
year. For sure, 6 years.
So 6 years, like 210 or something like that. 180
six
to 210
is probably low.
Huh? You think
well, six for 30 is 180.
Right, yeah, no, I think
something like that.
He's gonna want all these deals are all in the 10 years realm. Like
for even, Julio for a pitcher?
But he's younger.
But
he's,
who's gotten a pitcher at 10 years?
Well, they may not get 10 years, but he's gonna want a bigger deal because of how young he is. He's 26 years old and he's the best pitcher on the Dodgers.
Everybody's signing for $30 million a year now, just to stretch that over 10 or 11 years. Like Trey Turner's making 33. Over 11 years.
Over 11 years, right.
It's $330 million, but he had to go 11 years to get it. So Julio ain't going to get more than 30, 35.
So, Mace, sure, let's look at it from the Dodger perspective. Okay. So I'm trying to think of guys that would make at least $25 million, but not 50.
Yes.
All right. So let's say you could have, you said six players.
Yeah.
You could have Urias, Gavin Lux, Max Muncy. Smith.
But they're not $100 million players.
They will be.
You think so?
Wait,
You think Max Muncy is ever going to be $100 million? No.
I can see him getting 4 years,
how old
25
is he?
A year.
How old is he?
32.
Max is 33, 34 now.
Yeah, you can't see him getting 4 years, 25 a year?
No, I
he's making 13 now.
Okay.
And he just got another year, $13 million.
Okay, so we'll do Urias, Will Smith, Gavin Lux.
Gavin Lux is never going to be a $100 million player either.
Why not?
Depends on how he comes back from this injury.
$100 million isn't that much anymore.
$100 million is $100 million. I can't imagine Gavin Lux is ever going to be in a position for a $100 million contract.
Well, he'll come back from this injury. He'll be fine from the injury.
All right, but I guess I'm flipping your question on its head. Give me six players you'd rather have on the Dodgers than Ohtani. So, you asked the question, would you rather have Ohtani or six $100 million players? Give me six players on the Dodgers you would rather have than Ohtani, and you can't count Betts because he makes too much money.
But as a collective,
and you can't count Freeman.
As a collective, those players helped you win 111 games.
Yeah, Arenado's getting 35. Yeah.
Right.
So I think it depends on what the team
40.
Is.
Judge is getting 40.
The Dodgers versus the Angels are two totally different things. Like the Angels.
No, but Mace's question was: would you rather have Ohtani or would you rather have six players making $100 million?
Right.
Like pick any team. Take any team you want. What six players would you rather have than Ohtani?
If I am the Baltimore Orioles, I would rather have the six players for $100 million. But if I'm the Dodgers, with how they're built and what they have, I would rather have Ohtani. It depends on the type of team that you're looking at. Like the Yankees would rather have Ohtani, but maybe a team like, you know,
well, Ohtani's not going to the Marlins.
Sure. So, but okay. The Marlins would rather have the six players for $100 million. So right. It depends
words,
on the team.
The Dodgers, this is the Ireland star-driven town thing. Because that's the intangible.
Star-effing-driven town.
The intangible that Ohtani brings is that he's a gigantic star and the best draw in Major League Baseball.
Right. Here's Robert Wilkins. Of course it's $600 million players. Ohtani has been in the Angels. They haven't done anything. So he's not wrong.
But he's
been with the Angels for 3 years. They haven't had a winning season yet.
That's why the Angels are the smaller market team that needs the six players for $100 million each.
Which is why, going back to Michael's point earlier in the show, you trade him.
Trade him for a team. Him and Trump.
100%.
Not till the deadline.
Suppose you could get Outman and, I don't know, Muncy.
And Dustin May and
a couple of other big-time prospects. If you're the Angels, why wouldn't you do it?
How do you explain that to your fans?
Because
you've got the biggest draw in the game. How do you explain that to your fans?
Because we haven't been in the playoffs in 8 years. Yeah. We're trying to get there.
And we're going
to
trade the biggest star in the game, the best player in baseball. We're going to trade.
If you win?
If you could get six really good players for him.
Why not?
Yeah.
And you start winning, they'll forgive you, win. And you can make the playoffs.
Yeah, I think the Ohtani thing will be interesting. I just wonder if
he plays once every. Or he plays,
no, he plays once every 5 days and then every day.
DH.
If you were the Dodgers and the Angels called you and said, okay, we've gotten to the point where we have to trade Ohtani.
Right.
Here's what we want. We want Julio Urias.
Who's a walkaway guy. Doesn't help.
We want Dustin May.
Who's young.
We want Will Smith.
Who's a franchise catcher.
Right. We want James Outman.
Who's an unproven outfielder.
But he's going to be good.
But he's going to be really
good.
Yeah,
you can see he's going to be good.
And we want two of your top 10 minor league prospects. You pick two of your top 10. And those four guys.
You're probably thinking Michael Bush, Gavin Stone type things.
Okay. Now
all of a sudden that's six players.
So now what's the batting lineup?
Who wins that trade?
Whoever gets Ohtani.
Right. Totally agree.
So now what's the
batting? That answers your question.
So what's the batting? Oh, make up the top.
No, from a Dodgers perspective, I understand it. From an Angels perspective, I think you wait and see if you can.
You lead off at Mookie. Ohtani bats second. Freeman goes third.
Oh, that lineup is just sick.
Mm-hmm. I mean, come on.
Wouldn't that be worth it, Mace?
How do you pitch around that?
Fourth would be whatever. Will Smith fourth.
Well, yeah. Will Smith's
Max
gone.
Max Muncy fifth.
We sent him in the trade.
Sent him in the trade.
Yeah.
So you call up Diego Cartagena.
Yeah. And Ohtani replaces Urias, and then we need to somehow replace Dustin May. We need to go get another pitcher.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be fascinating to see the way it pans out. Mm-hmm. I wonder if a smaller market, if you're the Dodgers, they stayed under the salary cap threshold, all that kind of stuff in order to make an offer, and no guarantee they're going to get them. I mean, Steve Cohen could say, F it, I'll top any offer.
I've told the story before. One night I was working at Spectrum.
Right.
And, you know, the Dodger channel and the Laker channel work out of the same office.
Yes.
So the night I was there doing Laker shows, Ned Colletti was there doing Dodger shows.
Right.
And I said, hey, Ned, at this point, the Angels had missed the playoffs like 5 years in a row.
Yes.
And I said, if I traded Mike Trout for a boatload of players, like five or six really good, solid players,
yep,
would that be smart? And he said, you got a piece of paper? And I went, yeah. And he takes a piece of paper and he goes, writes down 11,500. And I'm like, 11,500? What's that? And he said, that's your attendance the day you trade Mike Trout.
True. And it'll be the same with Ohtani.
Same story.
Oh, God. Is that a thing now?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, right.
It's Pepe. He pops in whenever he feels like it.
We heard the story before, guys.
Pepe's.
I don't mind it coming from Pepe.
Pepe's coming up later today.
Yeah, he is. All right,
not again, Mason.
I finally cracked the Rams code.
You know what they're up to?
I know what they're doing.
Are they going to win more than two games? That's all I'm curious about at
this point. I will explain it coming up next for you. Michael Thompson, why don't skeletons fight each other?
Why don't skeletons fight each other? Because they don't have a leg to stand on.
No, because they don't have the guts.
Aye, 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 Michael.
Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
What a fortunate moment we find ourselves in.
Let me try this.
What a fortunate moment we find ourselves in.
That's what you're going to do during the... What a fortunate moment we find ourselves in.
I better write that down.
I love that line because it was so overblown. It was pure Kaplan. Yesterday, as they did pseudo play-by-play of the Cal State San Bernardino Division
so
two
that's what
game.
Amanda's email was about. Okay.
Yes, it was.
All right.
Yes,
got it
was.
Right, what am I supposed to say? What's the exact phrasing?
Let me see.
What a fortunate moment we find ourselves in.
There you go.
Okay. What a fortunate moment
we find ourselves in. It actually should be. Should be good tonight. Lakers versus OKC. What a fortunate moment we find ourselves in as the Lakers defeat OKC. They avoid falling out of the play-in tournament, and they finally reach 500. What a fortunate moment we find ourselves in.
Okay.
That's what we're going for tonight.
Okay.
Michael Thompson's hanging out. So the Rams, I've been...
Yeah, well, you figured some out. What? Okay. That they don't have any good players?
No. It's not what I figured out. What I figured out is that right now we have only 44 players on the roster.
Okay. And how many you need? 53, right?
53.
Okay.
We
the
have,
roster.
Because of compensatory picks, because of all the guys who left as free agents, we've got 11 picks in this year's draft.
Okay.
We have, obviously, Stafford, Kupp, and Donald as sort of the pillars of the organization. In 2024, they will be 60 million dollars under the salary cap with no dead money. So they are getting way under the cap for next year.
So is it like Patrick Mahomes becoming a free agent or something?
Well,
what good
no,
does that
but I mean,
do
that's
you?
That's a lot of money to spend. That's a ton of money to spend.
Right.
Look at the guys that signed as free agents. Look at the guys who moved this year. No, $60 million under the cap is gigantic with no dead money. So it means that this year, and I'm going to quote, and we should get him on next week because we can get him to say this ourselves. But Kevin Demoff says, our intention is to win the NFC West this year and make a deep playoff run. That's probably a
story. Well, his intention is one thing. Reality is another. I still think they have a chance to have a 500, maybe 9-8 season. I think
7-9 games is a really good case scenario. But for 2024, they're going for it. They're all in.
As you would say, Michael, let me ask you guys something. Why isn't there a bigger market for Lamar Jackson or Austin Eckler?
Collusion.
It is. It's collusion.
It's collusion. Business collusion. The owners,
These are two Pro Bowl caliber players at their positions.
What happened with Deshaun Watson getting $230 fully guaranteed was an outlier, and owners saw that and said, oh, we can't make that mistake again. Now, they might do it for a guy like Patrick Mahomes if he was available.
Mace, that's illegal, right? If what Michael's saying
sure,
is true.
Sure, it is illegal.
You can prove it. Yeah, you got to prove it, though.
But owners stick together.
Yeah. You know, they talk amongst themselves, sure.
So I'm still kind of dumbfounded by this Eckler thing. So Austin Eckler has been a touchdown machine for the Chargers. He's the leading receiver for a running back in the NFL. he scores more touchdowns than anybody else, and yet the Chargers won't pay him. So he went on Chris Long's podcast the other day, and Long said, so you're looking for another team because the Chargers won't pay you. I guess this means you won't be going back to the Chargers. And Eckler said, no, that's not true. Listen to this. He said, would you ever consider playing for the Chargers again? And here's what Eckler said.
And it's not like, oh, I hate the Chargers and I need to get out of this organization and I need to leave. Like that's couldn't be further from the truth. Like I would like to stay if it was under the right circumstances. And obviously I have one more year on my contract there. So I'm contractually obligated to play for them for this upcoming year. And so we're in a situation where it's like, look, we have no guarantees or anything like that this year. So kind of in a spot where, you know, I've been outplaying my contract and, you know, we might have an opportunity to go seek out other options.
All right, Michael, if you're another team, what's keeping you from signing Austin Eckler?
Is he a restricted free
agent? He's got to seek a trade.
Yeah, you'd have to trade for him.
Yeah, somebody should trade for him. He's cheap, and you can at least trade for him and see what he can do for
Although
for
he
a
doesn't want to be cheap.
Yeah, he wants to get an
extension. You would have to, if you did this trade, you would have to have a plan to sign him.
I'm all for...
He has to play this year on this contract, right?
Yeah, he can.
He's been allowed to seek a trade.
Sure, but you could trade for
this
him.
This is
say, okay.
when Matthew Stafford got traded, one of the conditions of the trade was, we'll pay it when you get here. And that's what it would be like with Eckler. I'd pay him.
I'd say, Austin, I believe in you. I think you could be a 1,500-yard rusher, but show me. Show me a 1,200-yard rusher, and then we'll talk about a contract.
By the way, put it in perspective. He ran for 900 last year, and he caught for 700.
It's not that impressive. It's 17 games. It's not like it's 12 games they're going to Jim Brown era.
No, but most running backs are not going to give you 700 receiving yards. He is a dual threat. Well, he's like the next best thing to Deebo Samuel.
Yeah, I mean, he's good, but he ain't Adrian Peterson on running, and he ain't Marshall Faulk.
No, it's not fair to compare the two guys.
Yeah,
you can't compare him to Adrian Peterson.
Some of these guys sometimes they outweigh, like Lamar, for example.
You know who he is, Michael? He's a healthier Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, he's a good player. I like him, but he ain't Marshall Faulk. If I was Lamar's friend, and we were sitting around over a glass of wine just talking, I say, Lamar, I know you want $230 million guaranteed, but why not take $180 fully guaranteed and go from there.
Yeah, I forgot the offer was what?
133. He wants 230. They offered 133. Split the difference. You're 26. You're going to be 30, 31 when you come up again and get another deal. You know, as opposed to, I don't understand. Like these guys, okay, I got to make $45 million. No, make $38 million.
But isn't it a matter of principle?
I know, pride
he
and principle,
the best
right? Yeah, yeah.
You should get paid.
Deshaun got it, I'm better than Deshaun,
I'll tell you
so I should get it.
Who's the owners are upset with? They're upset with, is it Jimmy Haslam in Cleveland? They're upset with him because he broke the quarterback market.
He broke the code.
Yeah.
And now LeBron figures I should get it too. But if I was in this camp, I say, listen, man, if you're making $40 million a year, I think you'll be fine. You're 26. At 30, 31 years of age, you're going to go in again and get another bag, as they say. Sometimes guys get too greedy.
John Ireland is National Cocktail Day. You used to be a bartender.
Mm-hmm.
What's the most difficult cocktail that you had to make?
Well, Long Island iced teas had the most ingredients. Four different kinds of rum and grenadine.
I found that out the hard way.
Yeah.
Most irritating one is mojito, right?
Well, yeah.
Because you got to muddle.
Yeah, and you got to
grind everything.
You got to work.
But they didn't really.
Yeah, I don't think mojitos existed when I was a bartender in the 80s.
Yeah, they didn't really exist.
When did they get invented? Come on.
I'll look
it up. Had to be around.
I mean, no, they were invented. They just weren't popularized in the U.S.
That's my favorite mixed drink.
Is that your favorite mixed
drink? The only one I really drink is mojito because it tastes like lemonade with a kick.
Ireland's a big whiskey sour guy.
Yeah.
But you don't like it the way I like it with the egg. I like the whiskey
sour. Yeah, I don't. I always say no egg. And I like mine in a rocks glass with ice.
Wait a minute.
How do you work the egg into it? Did you ever have to do that?
Yeah.
You just pour an egg on top?
A raw egg?
No. Like an egg white.
Egg white.
On top.
On top of the whiskey sour.
On top of the whiskey
sour. Yeah, that's a thing.
We didn't make them with egg whites. Most places don't. But some
fancy,
do.
Fancy, upscale.
Yeah, and they'll make it in a high glass with no ice. I like mine in a rocks glass with ice.
So if I named a drink, do you know the recipe?
I can try.
Mai Tai.
Mai Tai is, I don't know off the top of my head, but although I think it's rum based, right?
It is rum based, yeah.
I think it's, and I want to say, is there tomato juice involved?
No.
No, that's a Bloody Mary.
Yeah.
And that's a vodka. Bloody Mary.
Boilermaker.
What's in a Mai Tai?
It is curacao, It is.
You're the bartender. You're supposed to know.
Well, yeah. What we had at our bartender place was we had this thing where you would order a drink. Like Mason would walk in and he'd say Mai Tai.
Yes.
And you literally would spin this thing.
Yeah.
And it would go Mai Tai and the ingredients would be right there.
What's in a Tom Collins?
You just follow it.
Tom Collins.
That's a good old school drink.
Well, Tom Collins is vodka based, right? Or is it gin?
It is.
I hate gin.
I think
unless Justin Schafflander asked me to endorse it.
It's gin.
Three parts gin, two parts lemon juice, one part sugar syrup, four parts sparkling water on the rocks, and a Collins glass.
Yeah, I don't.
Man, you're a horrible bartender.
Well, I
don't know nothing.
I had everything in front of me on a machine.
You just spun the machine. Yeah. And
what's a Manhattan? What's in a Manhattan?
Well, Manhattan's like everything. A whiskey sour. Yeah, Manhattan is basically whiskey, sweet and sour. There's
vermouth.
A little bit of vermouth, and I'm leaving something out. There's one other thing in it to make a good Manhattan. But you
bitters,
yeah,
bitters.
But right, if you're behind a bar, it's really easy to look anything.
Make me an old fashioned bartender. What is in it?
Well, that's another thing that's just like a whiskey sour. It's whiskey based. It's got sweet, but it's got sugar in it. It's sweet and sour
cube,
whiskey,
four parts
sugar
bourbon.
Bourbon or whiskey, and that's you're pretty much home at that point.
Basically, it sounds like you gave the same recipe for each of those drinks, mostly.
Well, the key to being like a bartender that has half a clue is what's the base? So is it vodka based? Is it gin based? Is it whiskey? Is it bourbon? And then you just follow the directions.
Did you go to school for that?
No, I just followed the directions.
I hate gin. Who drinks gin?
Well, a lot of people drink.
Old ladies playing bridge.
A lot of people.
Yeah, old ladies playing bridge. Yeah.
Gin and tonic is a classic old drink from our parents' generation.
I like a Paloma.
Paloma's nice. Yeah. Grapefruit juice
tequila.
Yeah. Yeah, I like
so if you have gin a martini. That gin is a standard. Like some people order a vodka martini, but gin, if somebody just says, give me a martini, that's gin.
See, to me, a martini is vodka.
Well, you have to say, I'll have a vodka martini. If you don't, the bartender will make it with gin.
By the way, isn't it just vodka? I mean, there's like a little tiny bit of. What is
it? Are you talking
vermouth.
About martini?
A martini. Vermouth. There's like a tiny
Well, if you're talking about
vermouth.
Like James Bond martini, shaken, not stirred, it's gin.
Ugh.
But it's, you can have a vodka. My wife likes vodka martinis.
Oh, yeah, I do too. I like
my mom likes lemon drop martinis, which are made with vodka.
Yeah. I'm done with martinis.
I haven't had a martini in years.
I gave up on martinis.
Did you have olives in yours?
Oh, yeah. Now they make them with those like big olives with blue cheese in the middle of the olive. Yeah. Oh, those are really good. But I quit drinking, Michael.
Altogether.
Yeah.
Cold turkey.
I saw you and the toll that alcohol has taken on you, and I decided, you know what? I'm going to stick with something.
No, I actually do it the way the Italians do. I drink good red wine. It's and so does LeBron. Look how well-preserved he is.
Yeah, he is. You're right. You're right. All right, coming up next, interesting dinner party that went wrong. I've got that coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Wow.
I'm genuinely touched.
Hey, and I did not forget about your birthday.
Yeah, we did.
We decided to write you a very heartfelt message.
Okay.
It is. It's a very heartfelt message. So, to Mace, we would like to take a moment to wish you a very happy birthday. Today is a day to celebrate you and all that you bring to the world. Your unique talents, your kindness, your passion, and your drive are just a few of the many qualities that make you such an amazing person.
Thank you.
As we reflect on another year of your life, we feel grateful for your presence in our lives. You have undoubtedly touched the lives of so many people in positive ways, and your contributions have made the world a better place.
On your special day, we wish you continued success and happiness in all of your endeavors. May you find joy in the simple pleasures of life, and may you always have a sense of purpose and meaning in all that you do.
Thank you for being such an important part of our lives and being the wonderful person that you are. Happy birthday, Steve.
Happy birthday, Mace.
Wow. I'm genuinely touched.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, man.
I was waiting for the joke.
That was so much different than what I expected.
I thought it was just going to be a big F you, Mace.
No,
that's very nice. Thank you, guys. Thank you,
ChatGPT.
Yeah. Was it actually ChatGPT?
Yes! That is awesome.
What a great gag.
Oh, that is great. That
was awesome. So it didn't come from the Hart boys.
No, it came from ChatGPT.
We meant it.
All your openings for your games could now be written on ChatGPT. I hear you right after the show, you do an opening that you record.
Yeah, for the keys.
For the keys to the game.
Yeah.
To the game.
Yeah. So you actually thought that that was sincere what they were saying about you?
I did. I mean,
you were touched.
We were that serious. We were reading it that serious.
I thought somebody's voice cracked, and I actually, it was Bergman.
Yeah, mine did because I was trying to not laugh.
He was trying to
Oh, God.
Oh, it was a good gag.
Write Michael's keys to the game on ChatGPT.
Okay. Yeah. Let's see. We're playing Oklahoma City tonight.
Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what do the Lakers need to beat Oklahoma City?
Yeah. Okay. And see what? Oh, I'm going to be very curious what comes out. I think you probably could use this as your keys to the game.
I think I will.
What must the Lakers do to beat Oklahoma City tonight? Let's see what comes out.
I can't believe something's going to actually come up.
Oh no, as a language model, I don't have access. Oh, wait, no. Play strong defense. The Lakers need to focus on shutting down the Oklahoma City's offensive game. This means staying aggressive on defense, contesting shots, and forcing turnovers. Control the tempo. The Lakers need to dictate the pace of the game and make sure it's played at their speed. This can be done by controlling the ball, limiting turnovers, and playing smart, efficient basketball. Get the ball to the stars. The Lakers have talented players, and they need to get the ball into the hands of top performers like Anthony Davis. These players can create scoring opportunities and help this team win. Play as a team. Winning games requires a team effort, and the Lakers need as cohesive a unit as possible. This means sharing the ball, communicating on defense, and supporting each other throughout the game.
Wow. I think you could actually read that and no one would think twice.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, your
brilliant
work is being done for you.
I know. I don't have to do anything. Man.
You know how many jobs ChatGPT is going to eliminate?
My God, can you imagine?
Right.
Chris Morales, all the promos written by ChatGPT. Can we do that?
Do you want to write a promo for?
If you tapped in it, is Steve Mason a nice guy? Something come up?
A nice guy.
Is Steve Mason a nice guy?
All right. Yes. Here we go. I cannot determine whether or not he is a nice guy. It is important to remember that opinions about individuals can vary greatly depending on who you ask. That's absolutely true. Yeah. All right, I want to throw this out there. This is an interesting Am I the A-hole Reddit situation.
Okay.
Which we love from Reddit. Woman having a dinner party for 20 people. And she really went all out. It was a three-course meal. It had a beautiful rum cake for dessert. And at the end of the meal, she said, "Here is my Venmo. Everybody Venmo me $20.
That's like Doug Mann.
And it will pay for the meal."
Wow.
Now, is she the a-hole, or
yes,
did she put together a nice
dinner?
Did
she invite them over for dinner?
Yes.
Yeah,
she is the a-hole.
She is obviously. She charged $20 for dinner.
We've had this debate on the Laker broadcast for a long time. Mm-hmm. Doug Mann, our statistician, who is the greatest, best in the business, says to Michael and I,
mm-hmm,
I'm going to give you the facts and I want you to rule on it.
Okay.
I'm going by Gus's fried chicken, which Michael and I love.
Really good.
Can I get you guys anything?
Mm-hmm.
And Michael says, "Yeah, Doug, get me a couple of those pies. Get me like a sweet potato pie and a coconut pie."
Okay.
So Doug gets him the two pies.
Very nice.
Brings it back, gives them to Michael, and sticks out his hand and says, "You owe me $60.
Well, I think that's fair.
That's fair?
He didn't say he was going to buy. He said he was going to stop by. He didn't say he was going to buy the pies.
Well, he said he was going to go.
"Can I get you anything?"
Yeah.
Was his exact
Can
words.
"Can I get you anything?"
Right. I said, "Yeah, but that'd be nice if you bring me a couple of pies."
Yeah, but I mean, you think Doug Mann is buying you food? He's buying you dinner?
He suggested he was going to Gus's
and
ask me if I would like anything.
Jorge, what do you think? I say to you, "Hey, Jorge, I'm going by Gus's tomorrow before the show. Can I get you anything?"
I would ask you for something and then offer you the money. Like, "Oh, here's the $20 for the cake," or whatever it was.
But if you didn't offer me the money, I wouldn't ask you for
it.
Yeah.
You live in a mansion. He lives in a hovel. Come on, man. He's a stats guy. You're a former NBA star.
That would be Doug's argument, by the way.
Yeah, of course.
And I think Doug would also argue, "Hey, I wasn't asking, can I buy you pies? I was asking, I'm going to buy food for myself. Can I get you any? And I never intimated I would pay for your food.
Exactly.
I just want to know if you want food."
That's the way I interpreted it, like he was going to get me a couple of pies.
He did.
Greg, what do you think?
I think that it's, you're right. It's that you can't ask for the money if you say to them, I'm going, can I get you anything?
Can I pick you something
so
up?
So you're on
can
Michael's
I,
side.
Yes. Can, yeah. If I can pick you up, then no. You're offering to pay.
Right. That's the way I interpret it.
But you should pay, Michael.
What? Yeah, you should.
Absolutely.
Yes,
he did. By the way, he did. Yeah. Michael paid.
Yeah, reluctantly.
You absolutely should pay.
Reluctantly. I'm going to pull it out of my cold, dead hands. Doug, man. So if Doug Mann offered to buy you something, folks, you're going to have to pay for it.
Wow. Banging on Doug Mann. Yeah, what exactly. A nice man he is.
Yeah, right. Not so much.
Yeah, right.
No, Doug is very nice.
He's a great guy.
Yeah.
All right.
Pepe wouldn't do that. Pepe would buy it for me.
Would he?
Oh, yeah. Pepe would offer to pay.
But he never has.
No.
Oh, my God.
Pepe is going to join us coming up. We're going to do a game of games. It's Michael Thompson's game today. Michael, one last question. Why did the baker go broke?
Oh, not again, guys.
Why did the baker go broke? Because his buns were burnt.
Nope. Couldn't make enough dough.
How did you miss that?
That was a gimme, man.
Yeah, really.
All right. Game of games is next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
What a fortunate moment we find ourselves in.
Yes, it's a fortunate moment. It is time for Game of Games. It is brought to you by our friend Jacob Imrani. And joining us now to play the game is the great Pepe Mantilla. Pepe, how you doing, man?
Hey, how you doing? Happy birthday. I already wished you happy birthday yesterday, but not in the radio.
Yes. Well, thank you, Pepe. That means a lot. So it's Michael Thompson's game, so you know... Pepe, anything could be coming at this point. Michael, what is the theme for today's game?
Well, we honored Pau Gasol a couple of weeks ago, one of the great foreigners to grace the NBA. So today's game of games is in honor of the foreigners who have played in the NBA. So Pepe, you foreigner, you better win.
All right, here we go. All right, number one.
Tony Parker is from France. Which one of these is not a city or town in France? Bayonne, Orleans, or Toulon?
Jorge.
Toulon.
Greg.
Toulon.
Mace.
Toulon.
What was the first one, Michael?
Bayonne, Orleans, or Toulon.
I'll say Orleans. Pepe.
The number one.
It is Toulon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so who got Jorge, okay. Greg, Mace?
Yep.
Okay.
Manu Ginobili is from Argentina. Which one of these countries does not share a border with Argentina? Paraguay, Bolivia, or Peru?
Paraguay.
Bolivia or Peru. Does
Greg,
not share a border.
Does not share a border. With Argentina?
Yeah.
Paraguay, Bolivia, Peru. Paraguay.
Paraguay for Bergman. Mace.
Peru.
I also think Peru. Pepe.
Bolivia.
Jorge.
Yeah, Bolivia.
It is Peru.
Yeah.
Mason and I got it.
Bolivia's already on the... Peru's already on the coast.
Pepe, yeah. What's going on? You're 0 for 2. You never start 0 for 2.
Yeah, and this is about foreigners, too. How many foreign-born players are in the NBA Hall of Fame? 12, 14, or 16?
Mace.
16.
I'll say 14. Pepe.
12.
Jorge.
14.
Greg.
14.
It is 14.
Yeah.
Boom. Okay. All right, let me give an update. Jorge 2, Greg 2, Steve 2, John 2, Pepe Bupkis.
Pepe.
This has never happened. All right,
oh
go ahead,
God.
Mike.
I was the first. How many players born in the Bahamas has played in the NBA? 7, 8, or 5?
This one's me. 2, 3, 4. I'm going to say 7. Pepe. Jorge.
7.
Greg.
5.
Mace.
8.
It is 5.
Greg got it, and Bergman takes the lead.
All right. Spain, Pau's country, is bordered by 3 countries. Buzz in if you know the answer. Portugal and France are 2 of the countries. What is the 3rd country?
Jorge.
Jorge.
Is it Morocco?
No.
Dang.
All right.
Spain, Portugal.
Portugal and France. What is the 3rd country? Mace.
France. Oh, I'm sorry. Greece.
No.
No.
Portugal.
Pepe.
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 Andorra.
Yes, it is Andorra.
Pepe. That's a pull right there.
Little Andorra. That's right. Patrick Ewing was born in which country? Barbuda, Barbados or Jamaica?
Pepe.
I'm going to get Jamaica.
Jorge.
Jamaica.
Greg.
Jamaica.
Mace.
Jamaica.
Yeah, it's Jamaica.
It is Jamaica.
Yeah, that was easy. Okay.
Not counting Patrick Ewing, who was born in Jamaica but was an American when he was drafted. How many players drafted number one overall was not an American when drafted first in the draft? 8, 10, or 12?
Well, you were the first. I know that. Greg, Jorge, this one's you.
I'll say eight.
Greg.
10.
Mace.
10.
I'm going to go 8. Pepe.
8.
What's the answer, Mike?
10.
10.
All right, who got that?
Greg.
Greg and
Mason.
Mason. Yeah.
All right, so Greg's got 5, Mason 4, Jorge and John 3, Pepe 2.
Arvydas Sabonis was born in which Baltic state country? Estonia, Latvia, or Lithuania?
This one is you, Greg.
Lithuania.
Mace.
Latvia.
I'll say Lithuania. Pepe.
Lithuania.
Jorge.
Latvia.
It is Lithuania.
Ah, okay. Ireland would know, yeah.
Yeah. Greg, you got that too, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Bergman's got 6.
Pepe, I think, got it too.
Pepe got that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So Bergman's got 6. Mason and Ireland, 4 each. Jorge, 3. Pepe, 3.
Pepe and Jorge, you two hombres better know this one. Okay. How many players born in Mexico has played in the NBA? 3, 6, or 7?
Mace.
6.
I'm going to say 3. Pepe.
6.
Jorge.
3.
3. Greg.
3.
It is 3.
Yeah, Najera. Oh! Najera, okay. Toscano, and I forget the last
one. Yeah, so who else got that besides me?
Jorge, Greg. I don't know if anybody else got it.
Okay. No, Pepe said 6.
All right, so
former Laker Juan Toscano Anderson is half Mexican. Which team is JTA currently on? Wizards, Jazz, or Hawks?
How do I not know this? This one is you, Mace.
Wizards, Jazz, or Hawks? Jazz, you say?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to say Wizards. Pepe.
Jazz.
Jorge.
Utah.
Greg.
Let's go with the Hawks.
It is the Jazz.
Yeah. Okay. Speak up if you got that right.
Jorge and Pepe.
Jorge and Pepe and Mace, right?
Yep.
Okay. On opening night of this season, how many players, international players, were on an opening night roster? 110, 120, or 130?
The roster.
This one's me. I'll go 130. Pepe.
120.
120. Jorge.
110.
Greg.
130.
Mace.
120.
It is 120.
Ah. All right. Mason got it. Who else? Anybody? Mason was the only one? Okay. All right. So here's an update. Greg, 7. Mason, 6. Yes. Ireland and Jorge, 5. Pepe, 4.
How many countries made up those 120 players? 25, 37, or 40?
This one's me, I think.
25, 37, or 40 make up all those 120 international players.
I'll say 37. Pepe.
This is not a complaint, but I got the last one. And this is 40.
That's not complaining.
You got it. Yeah. 25, 37, or 40.
Pepe
countries.
Says 40. Jorge.
Yeah, 40.
Greg.
40 sounds right.
Mace.
37.
All right, what is it, Michael?
It is 40.
Yeah. Yay. Okay, so Pepe.
Jorge and Bergman.
Jorge yeah. and Bergman.
Has opened up a lead now.
So does Pepe have 5 or 6? I'm going to give him 6.
He got that last one. Yeah,
yeah. Okay.
The one he didn't
so Greg
get,
8, Pepe and Jorge, Pepe, Jorge, Mace 6, and Ireland 5.
What percentage of the NBA is made up of foreign-born players? 18, 21, or 26%?
Let's have the – Greg, you go first.
Was it 18, 20,
21, or 26%?
18, 21, or 26%. I'll say 21.
Jorge.
21.
Mace.
If I'm going to catch up, I'm going to say 18.
Pepe.
I'm going to say 28.
Michael, what are the 3 numbers?
18, 21, or 26?
Pepe said 28. all right, I'll go 26.
It is 21%.
Yeah.
Anybody
yeah.
get it?
Okay. Jorge Bergman.
Okay.
Yeah, Bergman.
Which country has the most of its citizens in the NBA this season? France, Canada, or Germany?
Greg.
Has the most this season?
Of its citizens in the NBA. Canada, France, or Germany?
I'm going to say France.
Jorge.
Canada.
Pepe.
Canada.
Mace.
America's hat. Canada.
I also say Canada.
It is Canada.
Yeah. Okay.
Pepe got it. I got it. Mason got it. And Jorge got it, right?
Yeah. What's our score up to?
Okay. Bergman, 9. Jorge, 8. Mason and Pepe, 7. And me, 6. Let's do 4 more.
Of the 4 major sports in L.A., hockey, baseball, football, and basketball, how many foreign-born players have had their number retired? 7, 9, or 10?
Greg.
Wait, say the question again.
Of the four major sports, hockey, basketball, football, baseball, how many foreign-born players have had their number retired? Of the 4 major sports, 7, 9, or 10?
10.
Jorge.
9.
Mace.
7.
Pepe.
10.
It was 7, 10, or what?
Or 9.
I'll do 9.
It is 7. Six, yeah. 6 kings and 1 and pow. That's it.
Okay, so who got that right?
Mason.
Anybody else besides Mace?
That's it. Just Mace.
Okay,
just Mace.
So here's where
Pepe,
we're at.
You didn't get that one?
Here's where we're at with 3 more to go. Greg, 9. Jorge and Mace, 8. Pepe, 7. I'm out.
Tim Duncan, while growing up in the Virgin Islands, dreamt of being a what? Tennis player, Olympic swimmer, or cricketer?
Greg.
Swimmer.
Jorge.
What was the first one?
Tennis player.
I'll go with the first one.
Tennis. Mace.
I got to make up a point. It's not going to be here. Swimmer.
It is swimmer.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't let Pepe answer, so I'll give him the point.
Yeah, give him the point. You got the point.
I got that right, too.
How many foreign-born players are in the top 50 all-time scoring list? 5, 6, or 7? Top 50 all-time scoring list. 5, 6, or 7?
Greg. Berman.
I'm going to say 6.
Mace.
How many are left?
2 after this. And you're 1 down.
I'm going to say 6.
You know, he said 6.
This isn't where I'm going to try to make up the point. I've got it coming up.
Okay.
I've got 2 more questions to make up the point.
I'm saying 5.
Yeah, okay. Pepe.
7.
It is 5.
Yeah.
Oh, Jorge.
Yeah. Yep. Jorge.
All right, 2 more.
Joel Embiid was born where? Sudan, Kenya, or Cameroon?
Greg.
Joel Embiid? Oh, I should know this.
I just told this story on the air 2 days ago.
Cameroon.
Jorge.
Ah, oh, man. Sudan.
Pepe.
Cameroon.
Mace.
Yeah, it is Cameroon.
It is Cameroon.
Yeah, yeah, see, that's why you messed up.
Well, now I got 1 more. I just got to go the other way on this last one, right?
Right.
So who's out? What's the score?
strategy works.
Jorge's out because Greg has 11, Mason 10. Pepe, you're out. It's down to Greg and Mason.
Thanks for playing, Pepe.
I just got to go the other way on this.
Okay, here we go. Last one.
I only Powell got made, 7 first.
Pau Gasol made how many all-NBA teams? 4, 5, or 6?
Greg.
Oh, man. I looked this up when he was getting his jersey retired. 5.
All right, Mace, 4 or 6?
6.
It is 4.
Oh, I still win.
Bergman wins it.
Oh, I had it. Woo! I was trying a little strategery there.
You were. It was smart.
Pepe, I thought you knew about foreigners.
Well, it's a very difficult one, and the questions were, as usual, extremely, extremely obscure. But, you know, I mean, who won? Greg?
Greg won.
Greg won, yeah.
Well, congratulations, Greg. I mean, it was very close for everybody.
Yeah, it was a good game. It was a good game.
By the way,
good
Pepe game. Is going to be a guest on the Culture Pop podcast.
Excellent.
We are sorting out a date right now.
Ask Pepe about my pie problem.
All right, okay, Pepe. We'll let you, before you go. Doug Mann said to Michael, I'm going to Gus's. Can I get you anything?
And Mike,
he said, can I get you anything? And Michael said, yes, get me a couple of pies, 1 sweet potato, 1 coconut. So Doug picked up the pies. He brought them back to where we do the games from. And he stuck out his hand and said, you owe me $60. Michael thinks when he offered to get him something that he was intimating he was going to get it for free. What do you think?
Well, Mike knows Doug, okay? So from that point, he should know that he's going to come and ask for the money.
So you're saying that Doug is cheap.
No, that's actually very solid analysis.
Yeah, it is true. I mean, like, if I said you want some pastries, I'll bring them to you. But if I'm talking to Mike, I said, you want some pastries? And if he says yes, I said, okay, give me $20. That's the
difference. Yeah, so you got to plan it out.
See, but Doug didn't do that.
Hey, Pepe, have a great night, man. Yeah. Have fun at the game.
Thank you. Thank
see
you,
see you in about an hour, Pepe. See you, man. All right, bye.
And bring your fake girlfriend.
Oh, God. Who is the Dodgers name their fifth starter? It is
Ryan Pepio.
As expected.
Ryan Pepio.
All right. Game of Games brought to you by Call Jacob. Winning matters. That's why after an accident, you go to calljacob.com or call 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB. It is time for Super Crosstalk. And as my good friend Cappy says,
what a fortunate moment we find ourselves in.
There you go.
All right, Cap, I have been challenged to work that into the game tonight, Cap, and I fully expect to live up to the expectation.
It is such a great line. I pulled it out of that hole. I'm like, go back and find the thing where he says fortunate moment, and it is awesome.
You sound so corny. You sound like Jim Nance.
You can expect to hear that on our show a lot because this is a fortunate moment that we are living in right now, Captain.
You know, Michael Thompson, let me tell you something. It may have sounded corny, but the intent was corny. So, I mean, given what happened yesterday afternoon, I know – Johnny, you weren't here yesterday. Michael, yeah. You weren't in.
It was so dramatic.
Did you guys hear what happened yesterday?
About?
During the crosstalk? Super crosstalk. Yeah. Excuse me.
I don't think we know.
Oh. Mace, you want to tell the guys?
Well, you know, those guys are at Yamava.
Right.
And about, 15 miles away is the campus of Cal State San Bernardino.
Right. So they were repping the IE.
And Cal State San Bernardino was playing to get into the Division II Final Four.
And to get their 500th Twitter follow.
To get correct. Into the national championship game. They were in the semifinal. Right.
And they were playing undefeated
Nova. Nova Southeastern. Right. Yeah. Mm. And by the way, interesting, Nova, their team name was the Sharks. Doesn't that seem weird? Because isn't that like two fish?
You're right. It really is. That is a great take.
You're the Nova Sharks.
Yeah, the Nova Sharks.
Right.
And you and Shadano gave us play-by-play, which ultimately resulted in getting an email from our boss, Amanda.
Right, right.
About, But it was dramatic, man. We hung in there to about 4:20 yesterday, which is my favorite time of the day.
That game did not end.
No, it did not end. A lot of reviews at the end of it, like a lot of games we're looking at now.
Right, and John, as George is doing this play-by-play of this game, there was a break in the action, at which point I was able to reset the scene. And that's when that brilliant corny line was uttered.
What a fortunate moment we find ourselves in.
I love that line.
Okay.
Love that line. So, Cappy, you kind of run the roost here for a while, right? Shadano's on vacation, so this is your time to play with, right?
Yeah, I guess I get to mess around a little bit here. While Sedano's away, you know? So there won't be so much like LeBron defense and AD defense. Probably be a little bit more, I don't know. AK's in the house today.
Yeah, Andy's here.
Yeah, he'll balance me
Andy
out.
Andy goes along for the ride, though.
Yeah, I'll do whatever.
Yeah.
I don't care.
So did you hear the Doug Mann Pie story? We're sorting this out right now.
I did hear this, and John, isn't this interesting?
Not the same not story. Again, guy.
Yes, but wait a second. John Ireland.
Yes, sir.
Did you and I not experience a very similar moment just a few days ago?
Yeah, it's true. Cappy got me some gummies to sleep.
Oh, yeah?
He never asked me for money, but I insisted on giving him money for the gummies. So I just left him the money and told him thank you very much.
Yeah.
So I had the same reaction Jorge had. When Doug would present me with the pies, I would have offered to pay him, which is what I did to Cap.
Okay, here's the difference. Did you ask Cappy to get the gummies for you, or did Cappy
we were
offer?
Talking about it and Cappy offered.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Then at that point,
but gummies are expensive.
Yeah, they're candy, yeah.
Yeah, they're like $40 a box.
Yeah.
So I didn't feel right taking two boxes. Yeah, he got me two, and I didn't feel right taking two.
So you went to the 20 milligrams. How's the 20 milligrams working for you?
Good.
Oh, look at Ireland.
Really? Really?
Look at Ireland.
Wait, tell me.
Yeah, no, it's went to bed at 11, woke up at 7.
Awesome.
Yeah. Come on.
Are you going to do that every night now?
Well, Like tomorrow morning, I'm playing golf, so I will not do 20 tonight because I have to. Or else I'll be
do 15. Cut one of those in half.
I'll do, I probably just do 10. Yeah. And just wake up at 4.
I sometimes make mine look like a Pac-Man. You take like a quarter of it out. You got three quarters there.
You cut them out, huh?
Yeah, cut them out. Absolutely. Yeah, you need the right amount because the wrong amount.
Yeah, the dosage is the key. Yeah, he's right. Andy's right.
Too little doesn't do the trick, but sometimes too much.
You wake up the next morning and you're weebling and wobbling.
Or you can't fall asleep.
Why do you guys need to get high to go to sleep?
What's going on in your lives? We're not asking to get high. We're asking to get knocked out.
Knocked out.
Same thing,
like
right?
a sleeping pill.
Yeah. Why are you guys so tense? You just can't just put your head on the pillow and fall asleep.
I can't. If I do that, Michael, if I put my head on the pillow at midnight, I'll be up at 3.
Wow.
No, Michael, I just love the way you ask it, though. Like, what's wrong with you guys? Yeah. Like, what's your problem?
Yeah.
What's keeping you up at night? I couldn't sleep
without something.
Not surprising, but Outman made the opening day roster.
That's right.
Remember, we were talking about how we hope they didn't jerk him around on his service time and all that stuff. But, you know, he's going to be there on opening day.
Yeah. So,
did you guys watch UCLA game last night?
Yeah. Oh, my God,
Andy,
dude.
Watch bits and crazy, pieces, right?
Dude, unbelievable.
How about that? You know, UCLA did a good job, but it was more about the choke job by Gonzaga at the end.
Well, except that kid hit a 30-footer to win the game.
To save him. They were gagging. Yeah. That's true.
They were up 10 with like a minute 15 to go and almost blew it.
Both teams actually, I think, got kind of tight as this game went along. UCLA, I think, got tired and tight. But they both, I think, started to feel that weight of that pressure.
How are you? I mean, Michael, don't you call it a choke on both sides? I mean, I'm just, I mean, right? I mean, UCLA was up huge. A lot of people left because they thought UCLA was going
to
win.
Yeah, UCLA was up 13 in the first half.
Yeah, but that first half, you got a long way to go. A minute to go, you're up 10, and you blow the game, blow the lead.
That is true.
That's choking.
Yeah, but if it's only choking if you lose, right?
No.
It's still choking. You can choke and win.
Yeah.
I didn't know you could choke and win.
They choked out a win.
Oh, I thought they had to
knock down a Steph Curry shot. If you would have missed that shot, they were going to lose.
Oh, yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah.
How are your brackets there, Cappy? Did you fill out brackets?
Yeah, I filled out one bracket.
How's your Final Four?
Well, right now, San Diego State is playing Alabama.
That's right. Is that on right now?
It is. It's 13-13 with 7:36 to go in the first. It's a high-scoring affair.
Yeah, if it's a low-scoring game, I like San Diego State.
Dude, it's 13-13. They've played 13 minutes.
Michael, you know
13-13? They played 13 minutes?
Yeah.
Michael, you know the coach at San Diego State is, don't you?
Yeah, Eric Musselman.
No,
Brian Dutcher.
Yeah. And you played for his dad, right?
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
And actually, a couple of years ago, Michael, Minnesota, your school, there were all kinds of rumors that they were trying to get Brian Dutcher to leave San Diego State to go to Minnesota.
Yep. Yeah.
That didn't happen, and here he is now in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, man, you guys, he's a good coach.
Have you been to any San Diego State games there, Cappy? You're in South Los Angeles.
You know, I have been, I got to tell you guys, all right, I've been super close to their program for years, really close with Steve Fisher and Brian Dutcher. So I'm rooting for these guys today because a school like this is waiting for its Boise State over Oklahoma in the Fiesta Bowl moment, and you're playing the number one team in the country. And it's not going to be some 16-1 kind of upset, but it would be a huge win in the history of their school as they're trying to become one of the teams that replaces USC and UCLA in the Pac-12, at least according to all the rumors.
Are you a booster, Cappy?
I'm not a booster because I didn't go to school there.
My wife did.
Oh,
my wife's an Aztec. Our friend Brad Turner, Aztec.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Slee.
Yeah.
That's right.
Kirk Morrison.
So what is it, Cappy? Like first team to 30 wins that game?
I think that's what it looks like right now. I mean, honestly, it's 15-13. I mean, this is San Diego State's only chance to hang in here is to play great defense.
Dictate the pace, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So, listen, after what happened yesterday between Cal State, San Bernardino, and Nova, and then what happened between then Michigan State, Kansas State yesterday afternoon, and then UCLA, Gonzaga last night. And by the way, we had the World Baseball Classic finale earlier this week. It's been a good week.
This time of year, March is normally one of the best sports months of the year. Because you got the tournament, you got everything except NFL.
Did you see what Izzo said after the Michigan State game? This is kind of a D move. He said, give Kansas State credit. They banked in two shot clock threes. They made some big plays, but some of those plays weren't big plays. They were lucky plays. I didn't think we played our best. I think some of it was them, some of it was us.
That was Izzo?
That's direct quote from Izzo.
That's sour grapes.
That's terrible. They were lucky plays.
We didn't play our best, but they got lucky.
Right.
It's weak.
They banked in two shot clock threes. They made some big plays, but some of those plays were lucky plays.
I mean, look, It's only lucky if you played really well and they beat you anyway. If you didn't play that well, how lucky did they have to
be?
Yeah,
I think this is that's a jerk quote.
Well, he's kind of a jerk.
He is kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
Right. He's in the Sweet 16 every year.
I couldn't play for him, man. He's a maniac. Yeah. He screams at players, grabs them and stuff.
Is he grabbing players?
Oh, yeah, he grabs players and, you know, by the collar and stuff and screams. If it turns red in the face, I hate coaches like that.
Yeah.
Can't stand them.
Well, that's what also happens when you end up the big fish in the little pond. And, like, you know, that area, he's a god.
East Lansing, Michigan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, he can get away with whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you see all of his former players, all these, like, former NBA stars all kind of sitting there at courtside, you know, all part of that Michigan State family. Yeah, I didn't see Magic. Was he there last night? Was Magic in
Madison Square
Garden?
I did not see
Magic
there last night. I didn't watch that game.
Magic only shows up to the Final Fours.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Sweet 16s. He don't do that.
Yeah, then Magic will show
up. That's when he goes.
Hey, you know, we mentioned all these big things that have happened this week, and the Lakers won earlier this week over Phoenix on Wednesday night, which, by the way, guys, just so you know, I can leave the arena at halftime, and the game will end when I'm in South L.A. So I get to listen to a lot of your broadcast.
Yeah.
I was literally on the edge of my seat on Wednesday night. So what's going to happen tonight, John Ireland, Michael Thompson? Lakers going to win this game tonight because, you know, this,
if
they could get to 500.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander averages 30 points a game. If they hold him under his average, I think they win. If they allow him to go off, I think they're in trouble.
Has it actually been officially confirmed that he's going to play the second end of this back-to-back?
No, but I'll be shocked if he doesn't. There's a four-way tie.
They better play.
For 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th. They all have identical records.
Sure, I'd be surprised if he didn't play either, but I know this would be the first back-to-back he plays in.
Please, tough it out.
I know. Tell him, Michael. Tell
Michael,
him.
I'm not his doctor. I'm not prescribing this.
Oh, my goodness.
Medical staff.
You guys ever heard of guys like Kobe and Isaiah Thomas and John Stockton and never missed
Bring
a game.
Me somebody,
I
mean, from on. This medical staff. I got questions.
My goodness.
Right. That's why the other day when George said that he talked to Darvin Ham before the game, and Darvin Ham told him that LeBron was going to be reevaluated. This is yesterday.
Yep.
So he told him this on Wednesday night. LeBron was supposed to be reevaluated on Thursday, yesterday. And LeBron sent out that tweet like, you know, God bless all of your sources. And George's source was Darvin Ham, but I said to George, why didn't you ask Darvin Ham? Yo, can I talk to the doctor? Because apparently he's the guy that makes all the decisions around here.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's true. I think it's a joint decision from a lot of different people. Mm-hmm. And LeBron's maybe one of three or four guys in the NBA who I think could tell the Lakers I'm playing.
Yeah.
I don't imagine them telling him no. What do you think, Andy?
I feel like the Lakers, honestly, put AD in an awful position by not just defining from the beginning. Anthony, because this is what it seems like to me. They've been very cagey about all this, but this is what I've pieced together. Because they've described this as an active injury, which was a stress reaction, they're saying he's healed enough that he can play. He's not healed enough yet that he can safely play back-to-backs.
But he's not in pain.
That doesn't matter. That's not the same thing as being healed. It's just being pain-free. That's not the injury being healed. They should have never said that he was pain-free.
Right.
Because that makes it look like he's not the one pushing through. They should have just said from the beginning, he is healed enough. He's healed enough that he can play. He's not healed enough that he can safely play.
Well, part of the problem here is that in 2023... there are a whole bunch of leaks. Like, I'll give you an example. The Lakers have never said that LeBron is definitely coming back before the end of the season. I think Clutch talks to a lot of reporters and gives them info.
I'm talking about what the Lakers could have said from the beginning. Just say, at this point...
I think they try and say as little as possible.
That's a mistake, though.
Okay.
That's a big mistake, especially for somebody like AD, who already has this reputation of being fragile and soft.
Right. In other words, tell his story so that we don't tell his story.
They had the opportunity to make AD look like he's playing through an injury, and he's actually gotten himself back because he cares about this team.
True. They gave up the narrative,
right. And
now everybody is running to their own conclusions.
And again, this would have been easy to explain. Like, just he's not healed enough yet that he can play safely in back-to-backs. It's not that hard.
If Shai doesn't play tonight, I think the Lakers win easy. Shai didn't play in the Laker win in Oklahoma.
He's so good.
But then again, either did LeBron, D'Angelo Russell, or AD. So it was kind of a game without any stars, and the Lakers won it.
I'd be interested to see if Jerry Vanderbilt guards Shai, or if he starts out on him.
Yeah, he will.
Yeah.
Either him or Austin Reeves.
Hey, by the way, this is good news. I have been cleared to do back-to-back shows now.
Oh, wow. Hey.
Yeah.
Hey,
for
now.
For a while there, I
only took about 10 years.
Wow. Wasn't safe. Wasn't safe.
I'll believe it when I see it.
You were pain-free, but it wasn't really
you
safe.
You are the lord of load management.
Yes, I am. All right. Hey, Cappy, Andy, have a great weekend, everybody. We're back Monday at 1. Go Lakers tonight. And don't forget, Super Crosstalk is brought to you by Coors Light, keeping Southern California chill all season long. 710 ESPN.